much like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, washed like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to welcome everyone to service this morning. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Did you come expecting this morning? Amen. Amen. Certainly want to welcome everyone here this morning. And if you're streaming on the internet, we welcome you also. We have some announcements we'd like to make here this morning. So if you'll bear with us just a few moments. We'd like to welcome Fred Teaster. A special welcome to him. He's here from North Carolina. And in our announcements, there will not be Sunday school. This is from Michael Bailey in anticipation for the crowd. So I assume this is for next weekend, Brother Michael, because of the special meetings. But we have our special meetings coming up this coming weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We also want to announce that the church picnic, which is going to be this coming Saturday during those meetings, will be at noon. The church will furnish meats and drinks. Sisters, please bring two side dishes and one dessert. If you have any questions about that, I'd see Sister Carol or some of the sisters there on that. This here says a meeting in the fellowship hall after church for those going to the Louisiana camp this year. And also, I'd like to remind you there'll be no service this Wednesday night due to the fact the young people are going to Louisiana camp, and the bus will be here to pick them up for that. Make sure we got everything here. Also, we have an announcement here for the help for the pavilion for Saturday. They want some of them out there at about 10 o'clock, if you can, to help clean up and get things ready and set up for the fellowship there at 12 o'clock at the pavilion. Let's all stand together. Why don't you take just a moment and reach around and greet your neighbor and shake their hand. Just amen. Let's all worship together this morning this old song. You know, I can't worship for you. You've got to worship. There's a lot of things I might be able to help you with and do for you, but I can't worship for you. You have to worship for yourself. And I know there's times that you just, maybe you don't feel like it, but if you just push through and worship God, and we'll together, we'll create an atmosphere in here that'll please God. And when Brother Donnie comes out, my goodness, there'll just be such an atmosphere here, and the Lord can really bless us. Amen. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, oh, washed like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high when the redeemed are gathering in. How we'll raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed
more sin. Oh, I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, o'er that city will be born when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, wash like snow and faith will sing. Oh, I will shout. We'll sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Like snow and people must sing. Oh, I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. We'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when redeemed are gathering in. Everybody now, oh, when redeemed are gathering in. Oh, wash like snow and people will sing. Oh, I will shout and I will sing.
Amen. You can be seated for a few minutes here, and I'd like to read our prayer request here this morning. How many has a need on your heart this morning that you'd like to make known with uplifted hand? Amen. I'm asked Brother Daniel Nunley if he'd come this morning and lead us in prayer. We have a request here. It says, please pray for a brother, Abel Dykes, church, who's starting to listen to the message. That he would be able to receive it, and Satan won't be able to defeat him. Amen. Please pray for sister, for Judy Boyer, brain tumor. I want to remember that prayer request this morning. This is from Brother Jerry Glenn. Pray for Brother Brian Arnold. He had three seizures yesterday, and also remember Sister Retha in prayer. We want to remember Brother Brian Arnold in prayer this morning. Please pray for Sister Trudy. She has a special need. The Lord knows all about it. She's thankful to the Lord for her brothers and sisters of like precious faith. We can all say amen to that. We have also here came in. It says that there was a small plane crash in West Virginia and two are dead. It says, this is the parents of an acquaintance of mine. Could you please turn in a prayer request to pray for Brandon Summers and his family? They need to be able to deal with this tragic situation. Also pray for another friend of mine. His name is Tony Flick, and his mother is battling cancer. Thank you. This is from Brother Randy Scott. This is my sincere thanks to my precious brothers and sisters for the love and the support during the sudden, unexpected loss of my father. The visits, the food, the flowers, the cards, and the calls, and all the other expressions of love were overwhelming. I love you, and may God bless you. This is from Brother Wes Willis and family. It says, a while back, we had prayer for a little girl who had brain surgery. She surprised everyone by being able to respond and talk within 24 hours of the surgery, but she was not able to walk. She is now walking and doing great. Friends and family are so thankful to God and for all the prayers from Sister Kennedy. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Daniel.
Amen. I'd like to give a testimony this morning. About 2 months ago, maybe a little less, I'm not sure. Many of you know I had a shoulder operation, had a shoulder replaced with a cartridge. And I guess they must have thought that I was going to be 2 or 3 months getting well, but people was praying for me. And within a month, I was back to work again. And, you know, I went back yesterday. I was supposed to start my therapy Friday. And the doctor wanted to know if I could move my arm. I just raised it up. He said, you're doing great. He said, a whole lot of people in therapy is not near as good as you are. But you know, it's prayer that does those things. Amen. When we bind together as a group of people, God moves on the scene. And he works it out for us. Amen. Let's pray for our needs and requests this morning. Heavenly Father, just want to say I love you, Lord Jesus. Want to tell you how much I appreciate you, Lord. Thank you for going to the old cross, bleeding and dying for my sins. Thank you for bearing on your back those stripes, God, whereby I am healed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everything you mean to us. We praise you for this service today. Thank you for the people that has come out, for the visitors in our midst, Heavenly Father. Pray that you'll bless them. Lord Jesus, we just want to commit this service fully unto your hands. For God, we know that there's nothing that's impossible with you. Help us, oh God, that our faith will bind together here this morning. Oh God, we pray that you'll work a work among us. Oh God, that our hearts are burned within us. Heavenly Father, we pray that you move in this service. God, we pray for our pastor, Brother Donnie. Heavenly Father, we pray that you move for him, Lord Jesus. Anoint him, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we pray for our young people getting ready to go to the summer camp. God, we pray that you'll give them traveling mercies on the highway. Oh, God, we pray that you'll help us. God, that we'll be strengthened by your spirit. Each family here today. God, we know that each one of them has problems. God, pray that you'll move for every need. And God, we pray now that you'll take charge of this service. God, pray that you'll move for every request. For those of the in there, God, pray that you'll bless them. Heavenly Father, whoever they may be. God, take charge now. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. You just remain standing there with us, and we'll like to sing together an old song and worship. The brothers had come, they were received the offering this morning. I'd like to sing together one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. You know, this old song's kind of took on a whole new meaning to me. And I'm so glad to say that I'm one of them. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my soul. Glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say. Though these people may not learn to be, nor boast of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide His power's yet the same. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Baptized with the Holy Ghost and power for service gave. Now what He did for them that day, He'll do for you the same. And I'm so glad that I can say one of them. Oh, one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy bells ringing, will keep the soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. And I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Hallelujah. Oh, one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Ah, you're singing so good this morning, I hate to let you sit down. Amen. We got a couple song specials this morning. Brother Caleb Atkins, if he'd come and get ready to sing for us. And then Brother Harry is going to sing a song for us. Brother Harry, let's go ahead while he's coming and sing that I Am Redeemed, the chorus. I am redeemed, I'm bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Anybody ask you just who I am? Oh, tell them has changed my whole life. Anybody ask you just who I am?
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times how he's carried me through. And if there's one thing I've learned in my life, it's my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. Every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. And I know I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. And every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation, Lord, you prove your love for me. When I lack the understanding, you give more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
This morning, as we change the order of the service, and Brother Harry's going to lead us in a song, and it's going to be dedicated to the Fred Teaster this morning. But we'll all worship together with Brother Harry this morning. You praying for your pastor?
Yes.
Amen. You know, it takes real courage to minister the way he's been ministering. Amen. Pray for him. Hold him up before the Lord. Brother Harry, I hope you know what you're singing.
Everybody help me sing this song.
I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Son, what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense, but that's when mercy walked in. Oh, mercy walked in, and he pleaded my case. He called to the stand. Presented
covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there in wonder, oh, how could this be? That someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were all broken. I felt born again that moment when mercy walked.
Praise be to God. Aren't we grateful for that today? Oh my. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's turn today, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. I would appreciate the grace of the Lord. Amen. I'd like for you to remember the meetings coming up this week. The Lord will just be with us Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I think Brother Harvey's done announced it, but there'll be a lunch together over to Pavilion on Saturday. I know it might press your sisters maybe a little bit. Maybe you're preparing Easter for your family and all, but I believe it'll be a blessing to us and to our visitors as well, just to come and expecting a good time of fellowship together. I want to speak to you this morning on the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So he beseeches them on two principles. We beseech them on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second principle is by our gathering together unto him. So we're not gathering to a church. We're not gathering to a creed or a dogma or something, but we're gathering to the Lord. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. And remember, I mentioned to you last night that someone had written to the church of Thessalonica under the false pretense that the letter had come from Paul. And they had confused them about the coming of the Lord. So it left the people in kind of a dilemma, not being able to understand. Well, is he coming now? Is he coming later? When's he coming? So Paul deals with this, and he said, nor by letter as from us, as if though it was from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Look at what this word perdition means. Destruction, waste, pernicious, destroying, utter destruction. So people can enter into perdition and not actually be the son of perdition. So watch their attributes. Watch their characteristics. Do they enter into a state of destruction where they want to destroy and annihilate? Then that tells you the direction that they're going. Now, notice the son of perdition. This is the attributes that identify. Who opposes? 2 points. Opposes and exalteth. So he opposes the true Christ, and then he will exalt himself above the true Christ. So watch this spirit now that will forerun him, which we're dealing with now, which will oppose truth and then exalt itself above that truth which it has opposed. Signs of the son of perdition. Who opposes and exalteth it himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Amen. How many believes we're living in that day? Amen. You need prayer this morning?
Yes.
I do too. Let me just be honest with you. There's many things as a preacher that I feel inadequate to bring. But when it comes to prophetic things, things like some of this, I certainly feel inadequate. I don't feel that I'm a theologian or a great teacher or a very gifted type of person when it comes to that. Really, I'm more of a backwoods type preacher, I guess. Running, screaming, hollering, spitting, shouting type of guy. So when it comes to these types of things, I feel very inadequate and I feel very nervous. But when the Lord puts it on my heart, I feel that I should bring it. Probably by people that would be qualified and would hear me preach, they'd probably think, this guy is a dummy. And probably I am when it comes to theology and stuff like that. I would be classified, no doubt, to be an ignoramus. Webster says an ignoramus is a person that doesn't know much. So I'm probably an ignoramus. I probably would be considered stupid and ignorant. Because I don't know much about science. I don't know much about theology and much about that sort of thing. But I do know enough to love him.
Amen.
And I do know enough to believe the truth that God has given in this day.
Amen.
So being classified by all that other, and I'm conscious of that, so it makes me very nervous in that. But I'm glad to kind of be going to church with dummies. People that the world would consider to be ignoramuses or whatever more. No doubt you've been considered to be the same thing. And in a sense, what they're saying is the truth. We certainly could not compare to them. But we know enough to listen to the voice of our Father. And really, that's what counts. So I certainly need your prayer today. And I'm not saying that as a false humility. I'm saying it because it is the truth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Fathers, we come before you today, Lord. I realize your people have always been a people that for the most part are looked down upon, been laughed at, scoffed, and made fun of. I know, Lord, that really the majority of your people down through the ages have been classified probably as simpletons, people that weren't very educated. Some standing here today among us, Lord, maybe they have college degrees and they have things like that, but they themselves, if they're born again, they know they have to humble that to the Word of God. Because education many times is contrary to the Word. Father, we certainly need you today. I realize, Father, there's school teachers sitting here, people that are educated and far more educated than I am. And I feel inadequate. And even preaching before ministers that are theologians and ministers that are much more equipped and better at bringing the Word than I would be. But yet, Lord, you've called me. And dear God, I've accepted that call many years ago. I don't understand why you call me. I don't understand why you'd want somebody like me. I've made so many mistakes along the way. I know I'll continue to do so. But there's one thing I want to do. I want to submit to you. And I want to obey you. So as we have these things before us today, Lord, prophetically, it's always difficult in dealing with prophetic things. So I pray that you'd help me to be able to get out of the way and surrender myself. And Lord Jesus, I know that I'm inadequate. I know that I do not have the ability to be able to bring things of eternal value and quality that will help your people. But I do have a gift which come from you. So I present that to you. I guard that gift. I watch that gift. I prepare so that the gift can be able to use what I've made preparation for. So help me today, I pray. Help me to get out of the way. Help the people to be able to get out of the way. That we can be pulled in the presence of God and set in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the saints said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. What an honor for us to be gathered together today in the house of God. So appreciate the word. You know, when you look at prophecy, it's, as I said in my prayer there, prophecy is, can be somewhat treacherous sometimes. It can be dangerous because whenever things have been fulfilled and you're preaching from a historical perspective and it's already been identified, clarified, this applies here, that applies there, that applies there, it takes somewhat of the fear away from preaching. But whenever you're preaching prophetic or you're preaching of things that are future or even partial future fulfillment, it becomes a little bit more scary, I guess, for a preacher and a little bit more dangerous because you're walking on territory that can be somewhat iffy. So you want to look at it in such a way to make sure that what you're applying as prophetic in the future has not already been fulfilled. You want to be able to place it in such a way because the expectation of the people is they want to expect what God has in the future. So it would certainly be out of sense, it would be out of rhyme, out of synchronization to look for something to be in the future whenever that happened 40 years ago. So if there's not a compound meaning for that to happen, a parallel meaning or for it to come to pass in a compound way, then you're looking for something, you're spending time, energy, exerting that, you're looking, well, I'm looking for this and I'm looking for that and I'm looking for that and not realizing that it happened 40 years ago, 50 years ago. So you're out of synchronization to the word. So anytime we go to dealing with things that are what we're classifying and believing as being prophetic, it's things that God has spoken and yet they either partially or completely have not been fulfilled. Well, then it becomes a little bit more treacherous, as I say, to where that you want to make sure that what you're setting the expectation of the people for, that truly it has not been fulfilled. But as the people of God, God wants us to be advised. God wants us to be alarmed. He wants us to be up to date, if you will, on the things that have been, on the things that are presently taking place, and on the things that lay before us in the future. Then if there are things in the future, categorically, will we be here when some of these things come to pass? Or will they come to pass after we have left? Now, some things that are in the future that are prophetically, they have absolutely nothing to do with us. And yet there are some things that have an element to do with us, and a part of them will be fulfilled after we are gone. Now, I know that as a Bible studier, one who's read the Bible for many years and studied the message now for many years, there are certain things about the future. I'll be honest with you, I have a hard time in applying it to say how far will the bride be here. Will she go through an element of suffering? I believe she will because of the quote that I read you last night. What degree will that be to? Now, I don't know exactly, but I know that God will help us to be ready for whatever it is that we're going to face. We all agree on that. But as far as the great fulfillment of the person of the Antichrist, the son of perdition that will be fulfilled, I believe we can safely say that we will be gone, that the bride will be in heaven. But now there are stages of the son of perdition that is going on, I believe, right now. I believe that no doubt the son of perdition is on the earth to this day. I believe the very Pope, the very one who will be exalted to this position, if it's not the one that's in there now, as many of you know, St. Malachi and different ones who prophesied that there'd only be a certain number of them will come to pass according to them, that one is in the position right now. Whether or not that is true, I
I do not know. But there are things that are working into the events that are lining up. The end time, we know, has been in succession for a long time. The signs of prophecy, actually Jesus gave us those signs in Luke 21, also Matthew 24, and Mark, and different of the Gospels, as Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 3. So many of those events actually started taking place 2,000 years ago. Because in the sequence of time, end time can be for a very long time. Actually, with the dispensation of grace and the dispensation of the fullness of the Gentiles has been going on for many, many millennia. And yet, but there are the signs that would be right up at the very closing of the end time. So some things would pertain to the dispensation of the end time, and yet others of those things would wait, like for the last few years or for the last few moments of the end time, which would identify them as being fulfilled, which I believe with all my heart that that's where we are. Now, those things, as they begin to write about them in the first dispensation, you know, when the gospel was being preached, and the church at Thessalonica having received this false letter, then they were convinced that the coming of the Lord was maybe it's next week or next month. So Paul had to come back and adjust the opinion and the thinking of the people. Now, I said, I don't want you to think that the coming of the Lord is right now, that it's next week or that it's next month. But he said the coming of the Lord is at hand, but it does not necessarily mean that you will see it with your own eyes. Now, what you got to do and realize is that whenever you preach these things in a future tense, that if you put it out so far that it separates the prophecy of it being fulfilled in people's lives, then they tend to take that in their mind and say, well, it's probably not going to happen for another 100 years or another 50 years. So I got plenty of time, so I can live any way that I want to live, and I can do whatever I want to do. So a minister has a great responsibility and being able to set it forth that no doubt some of these things are way down the road. But you and I do not have a promise that we will even live to get out of the service today. So a man has a responsibility then of being able to bring it in the present tense, but yet not make it so that if it doesn't happen tomorrow, that the people will look at it and think, wait a minute, I thought this was going to happen and that was going to happen. So you can see what a precarious situation that a minister stands in. So here Paul now is dealing with this. He's going to prophetically set forth things that will come to pass. Some of them will actually come in stages. It will be an unfolding. And when you look at the apostasy, how the at the time that Paul is prophesying about it, it is certainly an element of it as begun to start then. But the great apostate move that he was talking about is prophetic, and it was in the future. Now, let's look at this and pick it up in verse 4. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 4, he's speaking of the son of perdition. He said, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship. Now, the word worship here is sebasma, which means an object of worship. And it will be applied to the worship of a heathen deity or to the true God. So here it will be that he's prophesying now, this is in the future, that the son of perdition will actually move to a spot to where he will come to a spot to where he will exalt himself above all that is worship. So he will sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. So he will move to a spot. Was that in the time of Paul? No. Is it now? No. Was it in the time of Luther? No. But the move of perdition was going on even then. But now this is laying in the future when that last element of time will move to where the head demon will move out of the embodiment of the Pope and Satan will step in. It will only be a short time, but this is not transpired as of yet. So it lays in the future. Now notice what he will do. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. Now he's going to claim honors that will be due to God alone. He will acclaim a position, assume a position, and will allow the people to give him this position and accredit him this position that he is the Messiah. Is this going on today? No. Even though they call the Pope the Lord God, even though they call him all of these things, but this little element or this passage of Scripture here will wait until the tribulation period to be fulfilled. so that he will sitteth in the temple of God. I read this to you last night from Irenaeus, but let me read it to you again. He will reign a time, times, and half a time. Time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and a half a year, of course, so 3.5 years. That is 3.5 years, and will sit in the temple at Jerusalem. Then the Lord shall come from heaven and cast him into the lake of fire, and shall bring to the saints the times of the reigning, the seventh day of the hallowed rest, and give to Abraham the promised inheritance. Now this is from the writings of Irenaeus. Now notice then, they realized by the Spirit of God, they had already been standing against the white horse rider. They saw that the Antichrist was already, the mystery of iniquity, what Paul calls it, was already working. But it was still in mystery form. But the Spirit of God chose to reveal it to the anointed men of God on that day so they could unveil the mystery of iniquity so the saints would know what was going on. Aren't you glad God's got men of God? Now watch this in verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now the initial stages of this move of perdition will not be that initially he will stand up and say, I am God. I'm to be worshipped. I'm above God. I'm above the apostles. Oh no. He will never go that way. He will come in by means of flattery, which he did on the white horse. Then once he rides out under the inspiration of the white horse, then he changes that power, goes to another horse rider, and on down to the last one. Then once he moves from the initial stage and he has the power that he needs, then he moves to the power of destruction, where he will kill all of those that do not go along with what he says. And then he will come down to the last day to where the pale horse rider will consummate the political, religious, and demon power. Then he will take over the entire world. Now initially he will not say this, of course, I am God, I need to be worshipped, but he will show himself that he is God. So there will be allusions that will be made that he will not stop. He will allow the people to bow before him and pay him homage. He will allow the people to kiss his ring, or as it was in the earlier days, his toe. And he will go right on assuming the position of God. Now, notice what Paul says is that he sitteth in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. Now, actually, this part prophetically will lay into the time of the tribulation period. Because we all know, of course, since 586 B.C., from the time of the Babylonians, that the times of the Gentiles or the dispensation of the Gentiles has been over Jerusalem. There's never been 1 year since the year 586 B.C. that the Jews have had total control of Jerusalem, even to this present day right now. Those of you who have been there, you've seen that the Arabs control many parts, and the most sacred part, of course, is still held by the Dome of the Rock, which we know, of course, is absolutely an abomination of desolation. But there will come a way. There will come a man. There will come a means. How he will do it, of course, we don't know. But you imagine when the Antichrist will arise to such power that he, by his persuasiveness and his ability, will be able to work between the Jews and work between the Muslims, and somehow he will correlate it together to where the Muslims will surrender their ownership of the Temple Mount and allow the Jews to build the temple. Can you imagine if a man would be able to step in Jerusalem today and be able to intervene and intermediate between the Jews and the Muslims, and the Muslims would say, we're going to give this back to the Jews. We're going to let the Jews totally have it and let them build a temple. Can you imagine how that man would be so respected and so exalted and so looked up to, not only by the Jews, but imagine the newspapers and all on the internet. Oh my, yeah, the whole world would be abuzz in a matter of hours. This man has resolved something that has been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years and looked like a total impossibility, but somehow this man has performed a miracle. This man has worked a miracle. What a man of peace. What a man of words. What a man of power. It will be almost unheard of. But he will do it. And God will allow him to do it. Now, while this is going on, God's got two men that no doubt's walking over there in Israel today. Jews that will be anointed with the spirit of Moses and Elijah. If you can grasp it, they're probably alive this morning. Maybe they're Orthodox Jews. Maybe they got them little curls on their hair and the black hat. And who knows exactly, you know, what they are. But one day, they'll get the Holy Ghost. Amen. They can't preach the Holy Ghost to the 144,000 without them having the Holy Ghost. And 144,000 will receive the Holy Ghost and all the rest of Israel. All the rest of the Jews and the world will wander after the beast. And the 144,000 with Moses and Elijah will withstand this move, and they will stand up and say, don't do it, my brothers. You imagine these 144,000 Jews that will say to maybe a brother or an uncle or an aunt or a rabbi, who, don't do this, don't do this. And you say, are you crazy? Don't you see what this man has done? We're going to restore temple worship. And they're going to say, we don't need temple worship. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got Moses here and Elijah here. Those 144,000 under the ministry of Moses and Elijah will be just as hated as you are under the ministry of Elijah. Now watch in verse 5. Paul says, remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And know ye now what withholdeth, which the word means to restrain or hold back, that he might be revealed in his time. Paul said, don't you know what is hindering the revelation of this son of perdition? Don't you know what it is? There's something that's restraining him. Now watch, he says, the mystery of iniquity, which is the word mysterion, mystery. So it is something that is already working, but it's working under symbols and types and shadows. And the average person could look right at it, hear it, see it, attend it, and never pick it up. Why? Because it's in the form of mystery. So God anoints his men with the ability to unravel mysteries. Then when they unravel it, they bring it to their people, and their people become aware of what is going on, and it takes the cover off the devil. So they're no longer withheld from the mystery, while others are sitting right there, and they say, oh, this is wonderful. This is so great. Why? It's still in the form of mystery. Remember the prophet saying how the devil hated to be exposed? He said he would watch the people when they would come up on the prayer line across the platform for discernment. And he said whenever they started getting close, he would watch their eyes go to moving, and he'd watch them getting nervous. He said because the devil knew he was fixing to be exposed, and he don't like to be exposed. Oh, glory. Well, if that makes the devil nervous, I think it's time to go to exposing him. Amen. Praise be to God. Now watch, Paul says the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So it's already moving among them. What was it? The white horse rider. So the Antichrist move has already started. Where was it? In the message. The Antichrist move had already started. Where did they write this false letter to the church at Thessalonica? Whose name did they use? Paul's. So here they're coming right among so fair. Why should we marvel really that the closing of the Antichrist in the Gentiles must come out from under the restored message? Now what? So he calls this the mystery of iniquity. It does already work. Only he who now let us will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we know that Jesus is spoken of as the mystery of godliness. For great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, testified of the worlds that was to come. So here was the mystery of godliness made manifest in a man, Christ Jesus. Is that right? Now, how did he become that mystery? So he was the mystery of God unfolded in human flesh. The Holy Ghost overshadowed a woman, and she gave birth to the Son of God. So what will be the revealing then of the son of perdition, which is the mystery of iniquity? Jesus was the mystery of godliness made flesh, and the son of perdition will be the mystery of iniquity, which has worked for thousands of years made flesh. How will it be? The spirit of Antichrist will overshadow a woman, church. And out of that woman, church, she will give birth to the son of perdition. Lord Jesus. So if he is the mystery of godliness, then the son of perdition is the capstone or the fulfillment of the mystery of iniquity. Notice this in St. John 8:44. Jesus said to the Jews, "You are of your father, the devil. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now in the Greek, it should actually read, the lie. The lie. He is the father of the lie. So when the devil speaks of the lie, he's speaking of his own child. The lie is the devil's progeny. It is the devil's offspring. Be careful when you take a lie. That's right. Now watch this. So he's speaking of his own child. He is a liar and the father of it. Now if you'll notice how Paul, when he writes this in verse 11 that follows this about the Antichrist, he says that he will come with a strong delusion. That God will allow people to enter into a phase that they would believe, Paul says, the English says rather, a lie. But if you look at the Greek, it's actually the same words that Jesus used. It is the lie. So people will believe the lie and they will enter into a strong delusion and God will turn them over to a reprobate mind that they might all be damned. What are they believing? The lie. The same one that Eve believed. That's right. So it is the lie. Now this is what Satan will use, of course, in order to bring the people together. I read this last time, but let's read it again in the latest in Church Age, page 319. How fitting were the characteristics of this last age to represent the age that we now live in. For example, they worship one god, Zeus. He was the chief and father of the gods. This forecast the 20th century, one God, father of us all, religious premise that sets forth the brotherhood of man. Now notice this is prophetic. This is what's going to happen in the last days. The brotherhood of man, the unity of all faiths, the unity of the entirety of the world. We're living right on the brink of it right now. Something that has never been done. If you've studied much history, you know that religion has been some of the greatest causes of war that have ever been. You know how it is, a husband and a wife. A Catholic boy marry a Protestant girl or vice versa. That's why I will not marry such, because they're unequally yoked together. No, sir, I will not do it. Life had me make fun of me, put it on video, do whatever you want to do. I feel like it's contrary to the word of God for me to do this, because it is joining together two that are on two different bases altogether. Come on, children. I will not marry a Christian to a sinner. I will not marry, no, sir, it's absolutely contrary to the word of God. I will not marry a message boy or girl to a denominational. It is contrary to the word of God. The Bible says we are not to be unequally yoked. Neither will I marry denominationalism. Neither will I marry the son of perdition. I'm a son of God. I would be unequally yoked. I must marry Christ the Word. What about you? I'd be unequally yoked to marry such a thing. But the majority of the world is going this way. So we let down all of our rules and all of our beliefs. And it's the common bumper sticker that you see so much in the day that we live. Coexist. So you got a Jewish sign, a Christian sign, an Islamic sign, all this sign. Don't you see? That's the anointing. That's the anointing. Do you think that we as message people are going to be exempt from it? I tell you not. There's people sitting in our message churches that are this same thinking. Why do we have to sin? Why do we have to say that? How come we got to be rude? How come don't you understand what that is? It's that spirit that's so close to the end time. It's moving over in your mind. That spirit's inside of our message churches. That's why people resent a man that preaches the truth and preaches it firm. So what's this foreshadowing of the god Zeus? Now he says, it sets the premise, it sets forth the brotherhood of man. And it's now bringing together the Protestants, Catholics, Jews, Hindus, etc. With the intent that a mutual form of worship will increase our love, understanding, and care for each other. You see, the way I preach and the way these other brothers preach and the way hopefully that many of you believe it is that I can love Catholics and hate Catholicism. That I can love Muslims and hate Islam. That I can love people in the denominations and hate that system that binds them. Because people are demanding of me that I love not only the people, but I accept their system and their way of worship. Praise the Lord. But I'm sorry, I'm a seed of Abraham. I cannot do that. Hate them? Absolutely not. If you do, you don't believe what you're hearing preached. Hate Catholics? No, sir. Hate gays? No, sir. Hate Catholics? No, sir. Love them, but pray for them. And don't join their system. Praise be to God. How in the world can these Protestants join up with Catholicism and shake their hand when Catholic teaching itself makes Mary a co-mediator with the Lord Jesus, giving her the title of co-mediatrix, which means that she is a mediator. So you can pray to her for forgiveness of sin or pray to her for that's a bunch of tommy rot. That's a bunch of nonsense out of the pits of hell. But see, the spirit of ecumenicalism, the Protestants will never believe that. They won't agree on that, but they'll say, we're brothers. And we're all worshiping the same God. And we're all going to the same heaven. Oh, we've got our little differences. Little differences? Oh my. Notice again, page 363. As I said a moment ago, the false vine came into full fruition in this age. Her fruit would mature and ripen. That is correct. This evil-spirited church, full of iniquity, will be revealed as the mustard seed that grew into a tree wherein lodge the fowls of the air. At her head will be the Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. All this is true. And the church said,
amen.
And if this is true, then it must also be true that the bride church will mature. And her ripeness shall be an identification with her Lord. Notice how both of these churches, as they mature, their ripeness, their maturity is identified by the man they're with. Praise the Lord! The church is ready. Oh my! The church of the world is getting ready. And the sign of her maturity is who she marries. And the bride of Jesus Christ around the world, the sign of her maturity. It's not being married to Brother Branham. It's not being married to Donnie Reagan. It's being married to Christ, the Word. Both of these are proven by the man they link up to. What's this? Both of them have come to headship. So the church, her head will be the Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. The bride church will mature and her rightness shall be an identification. Her rightness, your maturity, friends, is not your perfection in the flesh. Your maturity is, oh God, I don't do this and I don't do that. Your rightness is your identification with the Word. And if that Word is a person living out of your life, it's not you struggling to try to quit this. Oh, I've got to quit that and I've got to quit that. Your ability to overcome those things is your man. It's your man. It's your man. It's your man that empowers you. Those of you that are sitting here today struggling with things in your life, let me be very, very simple and plain and tell you why you're struggling. You as a female, which is receiving seed word from God, from the message, and you hear this quote and that scripture and this quote and that scripture, and you're still trying to overcome it by your own ability as a God-given female. When are you going to learn? You cannot do that as a woman. You're going to have to do it as your man gives you strength. The church will never be able to take over the world. But her man will give her the ability to rule it. Amen. The church will never conquer America. But her man will give her the ability. How can I overcome the flesh? How can I be there? How can you, children, in my ability as a woman, as a bride, receiving the word, hearing the word, receiving the word? I'm not Sarah. I still struggle. Come on, be honest. You do too. But it was Sarah's man that held the family together. The prophet of God said Sarah never did believe it. It was Abraham. It was her husband. It was her man that held the family. Why did not God strike Sarah dead when she laughed at God? Because it was Sarah's man that kept her from death. Amen. It was Sarah's husband. It was Sarah's man. Now watch what the church is building up to. Oh my. The bride church will mature ripeness of identification with her Lord by the means of the word. And her head, who will come to her, is the mystery of godliness. So the mystery of iniquity is coming to the church nominal, and the mystery of godliness is coming to the bride, which indeed is Christ. And as the false church with all cunning and diabolical power, made up of political force, physical force, notice this, and demons of darkness, come against this true vine, the true vine, oh glory, with the fullness of the Spirit and the Word, will do the very acts of power that Jesus did. You believe whatever you wish to. Myself, I look for a manifestation of the Almighty among us. Not just in me standing up here preaching and these other brothers standing up here preaching and you all sitting there in the pews nodding your head and waving your hands, amen. But I'm looking for a manifestation of the headstone. Oh, Brother Donnie, we're going to win the world? Absolutely not. That's not who I'm called to win. Amen. I'm not called to bring all the world to Christ. I'm not called to evangelize the world. That's the move of the Antichrist. Watch this. As she nears her headstone, becoming like him through the word, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus will come. That the bride and the groom may be forever united as one. Already the visible manifestations of what I've been telling you are seen all around us. The ecumenical move of the tares is factual. Oh my, think of it. But also is the fact that the prophet for the last age must be bringing forth a message from God. That will forerun the second coming of the Lord. For by his message will the hearts of the children be turned back to the Pentecostal fathers. Then you tell me you can go in a rapture without a message by Elijah? Oh, glory. Brother Donnie, when are you ever going to quit reading them quotes? When you bury me over there? I figured you'd be old enough to get away from it. That ain't old, that's ignorant. That ain't old, that's departing from the faith. That ain't wisdom, that's smart, that's leaving the word. My Lord, I've been through this far. Why would I want to come right up to you and realize the lights of the city are right there? We are so close. Oh, hallelujah. The light from the King is illuminating the Word. What do you think we're living under? We're living under the impact of the light of that city. That's why He's revealing Himself through the Word. And we're that close. And you want to turn away now? I feel like kicking in overgear and running my last mile home. Man, don't set me down in a recliner and you bunch of brothers tote me, but let me lay aside everything. Let me run my last mile. Now you see, this is what this message will produce in those who really believe it from their soul. You wait till this last little gathering finishes. You wait till the burst of this big move that's going on right now of people leaving. You watch our Father. For it was when Judas left. It was when the rest of the make-believers, so-called, and all got away from Him that Jesus began to unveil His Word in a way that they had never seen it before. For by His message will the hearts of the children be turned back to the Pentecostal fathers. And with the restoration of the Word will come the restoration of power. I don't want just Word. Don't misunderstand me now. I don't want just Word. I need power in this age. I need power to live right. I need power to anoint my thinking. I need power to help me to pray for you. Children, you don't just need Word. You need power to live right. Amen. Watch this. Harvest time. Yes, harvest time. The two vines that grew together and intertwined their branches are now to be separated. Watch. They were so close that their vines was like this. They were so close. Surely you don't think that would be a message person with a Catholic priest. If you're so intertwined that like an Episcopalian in you, there's something wrong with you. So where have they intertwined so close amongst us? Right here in this church. In Brother Tim Pruitt's church and all these other brothers' churches where people have said for years and years, so we thought, man, that was a real believer. And all of a sudden a move comes up. Ain't even started by a preacher. Ain't even started by a gifted man. This is what will make their damnation so horrible. They're not even following gifted men. They're not even following men that God has proven to answer prayers for. They're not even following men that signs are following them. What are they following? Men of the intellect. Men of the brain. Businessmen and leaders that know how to do this and other. Don't you understand? The prophet prophesied about it. That there was a move going on. The full gospel businessmen. That spirit never died. It's going on right now. And it's gathering all of those that can be pulled away from this Word. The fruits of those vines which were at such variance will be gathered into separate garners. The two spirits will go to their separate destinations. Now it is time to heed the final call that comes only to the wheat bride. Now notice what the final call is. Come out of her, my people. Why would that be the final call? Then that must be in opposition to the call of the son of perdition. So the call of the son of perdition is everybody come together. It don't matter if you're a Hindu, if you're a Shinto, if you're whatever more. That don't really matter. We're all belong to the same God. We're all brothers of humanity. With that, I totally agree. We are all brothers of humanity. But when it comes to being born by the Word, you've got to have the same Father of the Word or you're not my brother. And I'm not yours. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye, wheat, receive not her tares, plagues, the great tribulation of the sixth seal. I wonder, friend, as the earthquakes have been increasing, in the last few weeks. I wonder what some of these defectors are going to do when one day they wake up, they turn on the computer, they check their smartphone and they've got it synced to MSN or Fox News or whoever it is, and they get the live update and they're on their smartphone. A 9 point whatever, a 10 point, a 12 point whatever it is, has went under the city of Los Angeles. A chunk of the earth 1,500 miles long, 300 miles wide, has broke off the west coast. And the tidal waves are shooting from the west. The tsunamis are coming from the east. What will these message, former message people, say then? Oh God, what have I done? God, what have I done? Hide me, Rock of Ages. Watch this now in verse 7. Paul says the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now let us will let. So for a few moments, I would like to address this portion of the sermon to the devil. And to all his little imps and his demon buddies. I would like to remind him that the restrainer is on the earth. I would like to remind him that that day on Pentecost when that pillar of fire come down and broke up, it initiated the power of restraint on this earth like had never been since the fall of man. It would work with powers and hierarchies and governments. It would forbid Satan to do what his heart's desire is. It would forbid the church from carrying out her ultimate plans. It would forbid him from destroying all of God's people. For he who now let us will let until he be taken out of the way. So Paul enlightens us the very reason the devil ain't already took over. And this was 2,000 years ago. There's a restrainer here. Y'all know what a restraining order is? It's when somebody, you know, carries on in your house, you know, a neighbor or your wife or your daddy or your mama, whoever it is. And, you know, you go down to the court and you say, I want a restraining order against my wife. Well, what she do? Hit me in the head with a frying pan. I want a restraining order against my husband. He done this and that and the other. I want a restraining order. When God sent down the Holy Ghost, it was a restraining order that would not allow Satan to do as he pleased. Oh, but you say the tribulation that they went through, all that they went through, but it was all under the oversight of the restrainer. He was allowing them to be sowed into the ground only to resurrect in the last days. Can you imagine how long Satan has been waiting for this? Ever since he was kicked out of heaven. You imagine as God began to expand his creation out of the heavens into the universe. And then the earth, and God began to show a special attention toward this planet that we live on. And Satan saw somehow that special attention. And he came down and walked on it. The prophet said he walked on those coals of fire. While he was yet in that cosmic state, Satan, somehow God had showed an attribute of love toward this earth. You remember, the earth has different creations, or stages of creation. So as the stages of creation are unfolding from one to the other, goes from the thought of God into the cosmic light, from the cosmic light into cosmic material. It goes from cosmic material into atoms and molecules. And when Satan sees this going on, he said, look at this. He never done Jupiter that way. He never done Mars that way. Watch it. There's something about this this earth. There's something about that girl. There's something about that boy. Don't you know he's seen God's special care watching over you since you was a little child? How many of you were spared of a car wreck or a horse or who kicked you or whatever more? And Satan watched that. Them demons reported back. Hey, you better watch that horn boy. Hey, you better watch that dire boy. I seen that the other day. I laid a trap for him. I knew I had him killed. All of a sudden, something supernaturally moved. He might be one of them. Glory to God. Amen. What was it? The restrainer. God did not want you to come to this earth and live to be 3 years old and go to heaven. He wanted you to live to be a man or a woman. So here he walks upon the coal of fire. He's a spirit. Volcanic ash don't hurt him. So when the earth was churning in volcanic sulfuric gas and acid coming up out of the bowels of the earth, he could walk up and down it and say, this is mine. This will be my place. This is my office. This is my headquarters. He waited in antediluvian destruction, didn't get it. He waited for the dispensation of the prophets, still didn't get it. Waited down through the judges, didn't get it. Waited through the time of the Maccabees, didn't get it. And then one day a little baby is born. Looks like any other baby, cries like any other baby. When his mama fed him, milk ran out of the side of his mouth like it did yours. You imagine Jesus laying in a little old cradle, blowing bubbles like any other baby, blows bubbles with her spit. And the angels watched him and said, that can't be God. What was it? The mystery of godliness. It was hid from them. They don't have the ability to see it. It was wrote right there in the Word that their eyes was withholden. Hanging on the cross is a man, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, sings it. No way, that's him. God? Them big old mouthfuls of spit rolling off of his face? That ain't God.
What was it? The mystery of godliness.
May I enlighten you just a little bit more? Before Pentecost, the bride was hidden the groom. But after Pentecost, the groom has been hidden the bride. What are we today? The same mystery of godliness. Oh my God looks at us. The angels looks at us and all. The cherubims look at us and all. And the world looks at us and makes fun of us. They say, bunch of holy rollers, look at them women, that long hair and them long hair. Why? The mystery is withholding from their eyes.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory.
You imagine when Nebuchadnezzar became king, Satan thought, this is my chance. And one day Satan moved on him as he walked out to his balcony. And he looked over Babylon and he saw the seven great wonders of the ancient world. He saw the hanging gardens which he'd made from a wife of his that had come from a mountain country. He saw all the great things of Azara that foreshadowed heaven. And he looked and he had such pride in his heart. And Satan said, I'll use him now. I'll enthrone myself. And when he did, Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. So he goes out in the woods and acts like an animal. And Satan said, how did that happen? I thought I was going to get in this man and I was going to take over. And he goes plumb loony on me. Then he sent his gun back to him and he said, all the praise be to the Lord God. The Lord God is the one. And Satan said, what? What in the world? And maybe when he come over to the Medes and Persians and he moved on Darius and then he moved on Cyrus, he said, I've got to have a son. He's looking for an outlet somewhere. And God said, but I want to be God. I want to be worshipped. Go sit in your high chair. Yeah. Go get in your playpen. So when he come with a Roman eagle, he thought, by this, I'll be king.
But once again, he that now let us will let until he be taken out of the way. So when he who now let us will let come in the form of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, and the demons started reporting back down in hell, you'll never believe what's going on up there. Amen. What? I just thought this was going to be a breeze. I mean, last I heard, he put Peter in charge of the church. Can you imagine that? I mean, he left the church in charge of a cussing preacher. Boy, what a church this is going to be. I guess they'll all be cussing people then, won't they? A weak chicken? A guy that was so weak and so puny, he couldn't even stand up. Satan said, this won't be no problem at all. I ain't even going to trouble myself with the day of Pentecost. But the reports started coming down hell. Spit it out. What's the problem? And another one comes in. What is it? And another one, and another one, and another one. Would you all tell me what's going on?
It ain't what's went on. It's what went in.
It ain't what's going on. You'll never believe it. That pillar of fire come down in that upper room. And he divided himself. And he got inside Peter and James and John and Mary. Oh, no. Oh, no. There goes my kingdom. Back to the high chair. So he gets his emperors. He keeps trying to grow and trying to make it bigger. He's like, he can't. He's thinking, what is going on here? I own this. I told Jesus that. He didn't even refute me. The Roman eagle rules a known world. Why can't I move beyond these bounds? It's very simple, devil. You remember the conversation you had with Papa, don't you? About my brother Job. When Papa asked you, if you'd considered my servant Job, and you smartly said, oh yeah, you baby, and he's got a hedge all built around him. You remember what my daddy said, don't you? My daddy said, yeah, you can go ahead and test him, but you can't take his life. What was it? The restrainer. So he comes back again. Yeah, yeah, I'll make him curse you to your face. God said, no, you won't. No, you won't. Amen. God had confidence in his servant. You go ahead and afflict him, take his children, do this, that, other, but don't you touch his life. That same restrainer stood on the earth one day and told Peter, Simon, oh, I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. What was it? The restrainer. When he come back on the day of Pentecost, he anointed Paul to say this, I am persuaded, neither death, nor height, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The restrainer is not just working on you. He works on world powers. He will not allow them to culminate in headship as long as you're here. I don't mind telling you, if I was the devil, I wouldn't like you. Not because you shout, not because you just scream amen to this message and come here to this church, but because you're keeping me from my throne. There's one group of people on the face of the earth today that's keeping the devil from his throne. I trust you know who they are. How would you like to treat those people? What if for thousands of years you had desired to be enthroned? And there's a group of holy rollers on this earth that's hindering you. He don't like you. He don't like your daddy. He don't like your purpose. He don't like your plan. I'm reminded of the first Exodus. Pharaoh put on a big front. I don't want to let these people go. God said, suit yourself. You remember the story? God gave him plagues. God done all kinds of things to him. Eventually it come down to where Pharaoh said, get out of here. Go. Leave me alone. Can you imagine these indecent demons? Ungodly, filthy demons that come down in hell
when they're assigned to some of our young girls and our sisters in the message. And they have to report back to Satan. And Satan says, did you succeed?
You know how they are.
They're not like other girls.
Glory. Glory.
They want to be pretty. They want to be attractive. I can see that about them. But every time I about get ready, the other day I had one looking at a mini skirt. Yeah, believe it or not, I did. And she drug out her credit card. But all of a sudden, I don't know from where, something happened. It was peculiar. But all of a sudden, she stuck a credit card back in her wallet and walked out of there. And I could see the blush on her face. And she whispered these words. My sister, what was it that helped you do that?
The restrainer.
Can you imagine him answering to his boss? You mean to tell me that's the closest we have ever had her? You allowed her to walk out of Cato's without that many dress.
Think about it.
Couldn't you have at least stopped her on the rack out and bought the one with the split halfway up her legs? I tried that. She wouldn't even listen. She went out there and sat in the car. Honest, I watched her devil. I'd done my best. I tried. She sat out there and laid her hand in her hands. She said, I'm so sorry.
Yes, sir.
And then that presence come in the car. Tears started coming out of her eyes. You know that thing that moves on them people sometimes, and they go to kind of shaking around a little bit, and some of them go to talking them strange languages and stuff. You know how they are. They're a peculiar bunch. I've done my very best. I tried. That makes three times this week you fail me. That young man from Happy Valley, I had moved on him to stop and get a bottle of beer. And what did you do? You fail me there. I made up my mind I'd stop Donnie Reagan from preaching the truth. I thought I'd scare the liver out of him. And who did I see in jail? How would you like to answer to that boss dealing with us? Wonder what their success rate is. Good thing they don't work for insurance companies. Good thing they don't work for car salesmen and all that sort of thing. They'd be losing a job, wouldn't they? They'd be out sending the unemployment line. That's the way I want demons to be when it comes to me. I want them to be unemployed. I want them to take a beating every time they go down to hell. Oh, hallelujah. I don't just want that for me, children. I want that for you as the sheep of God. Get this out of your mind that Satan is omnipotent. His demons are omnipotent. That's a lie. There's a bunch of omnipotence in this building this morning, but it ain't the devil. It's you and you and you and you and you couple up with him. The restrainer prevents the work of sin from culminating Satan's long ambition of his goals. He's never been able to enthrone himself upon the earth in a man and actually be a God and be worshipped. So just to let you know, my daddy pulls the strings around here. Not you. And I would like to be the first one in this building anyway to remind you, you are lost, you're going to hell, and you're going to be destroyed. On the other hand, we are saved, we're going to heaven, and we're going to live forever. This restraining, this power is so great that it holds back
It is so great that when the world was getting ready to annihilate itself on 11-11 at 11 o'clock, the restrainer sent out a command. And they still don't know for sure who it was that issued it in the World War I. I got his name and address if you want it. The restrainer issued a divine edict. Stop the war. Stop the world before they destroy the whole thing. And you imagine Satan bent down in hell saying, man, what in the world is going on? Where did that come from? Did that come from Allenby? Did that come from the Germans? Did that come from? It come from Papa. It come from what? A restraining order. The order of Satan is, let's annihilate the whole thing. Let's destroy the whole thing. I'll take over what's left. And the restraining order came out and said, stop. So all of a sudden the German, what am I doing shooting at you? I don't want to shoot you no more. We're brothers. Man alive. How you doing? How you doing? Man, good to see you. Boy, how are you doing? Why? The restrainer said, no more. One morning, between 7 and 9, I'm not sure if that's Eastern time, Canadian time, African time, but I know I'll be on time, whichever time zone is this. Between 7 and 9, a sweep will go over the earth. And the restrainer, which has been holding the saints in the sixth dimension, because they're busting a gut, as we'd say, to get out there and get them bodies. They want to get back to earth. And the restrainer says, saints, go. And that dimension of the saints of God will empty out. And when they go out, they'll call and call their own body from the dust of the earth. You may be clocking out on the night shift. I may be standing in front of the mirror. And all of a sudden behind me, I'll hear a voice. God bless you, honey. And see a Brother Tracy that ain't got no hair and feeble, but I'll turn around and see a young Brother Tracy. How can it be? The restrainer said, go! Go! Go get your body! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Children, do you understand why we are not literally changed when we sit in some of the meetings we're allowed to have? Do you understand why we're not changed here under the impact of this word? The power that's in you that will change you one day is in you this morning. And if it wasn't for the restrainer, you imagine the Holy Ghost has the time, the revelation of this word, and our body speeding up. He said, help me, help me, I'm holding him back. What's Johnny's ready to cross over? What's down? Oh my, oh my. And the restrainer said, no, no, no. You think I'm nuts, don't you? The only reason I ain't already changed is because the restrainer said, not yet. If you could see me sometimes and I'm sitting studying and this word is becoming so real to me, you'd think, is that the way our pastor behaves himself? It is. Probably ain't near as bad the way y'all behave yourself. You're young and kicking a ball around out on some field somewhere. But you imagine when the restrainer says, the restraints are off. And there's mama, there's your daddy, there's whoever. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost, maybe it'll be on Monday morning, the Holy Ghost that you felt so powerful surged through your body there, son. And you thought, Lord God, I'm fixing to be changed. Lord have mercy. Have y'all ever felt that way? When the anointing, you think, Lord have mercy, I'm fixing to be changed. The restraint held you. But on Monday morning, the restraint is lifted. And you see your loved ones. And all of a sudden, as I dreamed that dream 10 years ago probably, and I was standing outside in the vestibule, several of the brothers standing there was all shaking hands after service. We was just talking about the word, presence of God. And all of a sudden, I seen brothers start from the head and work down.
and their body was changing. As a matter of fact, I was shaking a brother's hand. And I watched his hand and his arm disappear. And as it come down to his hand and arm, mine ran up this way. And I started disappearing with him. In a moment. In a moment. Why don't it do it now? The restrainer. I imagine I make it tough on him sometimes. He said, Lord Jesus, hold him back. Hold him back. Yeah, I tell you, friend, that ain't but half the story. The devil's wanting his power. The devil's wanting his world. Let him have it. I want my body. I want my home. I want my Jesus. I want my heaven. I want where I belong. I don't belong in this world. That's only half the story. Don't you understand what stops you from creating a private world and living on it? The restrainer. If we believe what this is said, and because God's prophet fulfilled what God told him to do and gave him to do, a message that would literally change our bodies. And sometimes you come to church and say, well, there ain't nothing going on, there ain't nothing happening. It is! It's building up the mechanics in you. So when the restraint is lifted, it'll be like rocket fuel. Lord have mercy. It'll be like rocket fuel. When the dynamics drops them years of mechanics, those barriers. Lord Jesus. Oh God. Thank you, Father. Oh Lord. I pray you'd help us today, Jesus. Lord, as I said, let me open the service. We're not a great people. We're not a people of great intellectualism. We're not a people, oh God, that could offer the world a whole lot. Most of us will never wind up in the who's who. Most of the world will never even know when we came on the earth or when we left. Our existence will be so small and so minute. We'll live our life and then we'll go by the way of the grave unless you catch us away. We'll be remembered by our children, of course, and by our grandchildren. By the time it comes to our great-grandchildren, we're only a picture and a name. They never knew us. By their children, we'll be forgotten, just some ancient relatives. We'll never leave great legacies behind. Great things. But yet, Lord Jesus, if we can live for you, if we can stand for you, what greater legacy is there? The greatest athlete in the world. The greatest boxer. Oh, he'll be remembered. People will replay his video when he'd done this knockout and done this, that, and another. The greatest basketball star or football star. But if time goes on, eventually, somebody will break his record. And somebody will break his. And then they move on down the line from first to second to third to fourth. Then they move into oblivion. Nobody hardly remembers him anymore. Oh, Lord Jesus, but if we can live for you and serve you. Our names, our lives are recorded not in the annals of earthly history, but what the Bible calls a book of remembrance. Lord Jesus, I'll never be famous. I'll never be rich and important as far as that goes. And I don't want to be anyway. I don't know what I'd do with all that know-how. It ain't fitting for a person like me. I'll live my life, and if you allow me to go by the way of the grave, in a matter of years, I'll be forgotten. Those who hated me will forget me, and they'll focus on a new enemy. Those who loved me, they'll forget me, and they'll have to focus on another man of God that's leading them on. But I'm so glad, Lord Jesus, when this old coat is hung up in life's hall of fame, I'm glad I can step into a new body. The deeds which I've done are written in that book of remembrance. And one day it'll be pulled out, Father. Lord, may we be faithful and true. I hope and pray that I'm alive when the change comes. I may not be alive, but I believe we're living in that era when it's going to happen. No doubt there's people sitting right here today that will never die. Help us, Lord Jesus. But whether I'm changed or whether I go by the way of the grave, let me stay true to you. Let me be faithful. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help these people here today. Oh, and when the restrainer says it's time, Praise God. Then all of a sudden, the prophet said, a sweep will go over you. And you'll be changed in a moment. And you'll look around. And there's Mama. There's Brother Deark. There's this brother. And you know, it won't be long. And then you're traveling like a thought. Praise God. Traveling like a thought. Man has been able to excel himself, Lord, and move in such great speeds. But he's never been able to travel like a thought. Because that's reserved for the elect only. Lord Jesus, may we be ready for that hour. If there's one here today who's not born again, one person, Lord, who hasn't committed to you, some without the Holy Ghost. Maybe some, Lord, are fighting the office battles in their life. They don't know what to do. Some of them maybe even contemplated suicide, planned it, talked about it, thought about it, maybe even tried to carry it out, and they couldn't do it. They ought to realize today the restrainer was there. When Brother Branham got to a spot, and his wife died and his child, he tried several times to take his life. But you wouldn't allow it. Pulled his gloves off upon the pole. Come to himself, sitting at the bottom of the pole. He should have been dead. But the restrainer stood between him and death. You knew I needed him, Lord. You knew the bride needed this message of the last days. Help us today, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise be to God. How many needs him in your life greater than ever before? Just raise your hand to him, would you? Let's stand our feet. Children, don't try to meet the challenge of this day as an educated female bride. Don't try to meet the challenges of this hour as the church bride with a bunch of knowledge with the message. I know I shouldn't do this, and I know I shouldn't do that, and I know I shouldn't do that, and I know I shouldn't do that. That's not what you need all along. You need the power to help you to overcome. And as we're nearing the headstone, I wonder how close it really is. The illumination of the light on the Word ought to tell us he's moving closer. He's moving closer. You said, but Brother Donnie, I've tried so hard to quit this and quit that. No doubt you have. And God bless you for your effort. But when you can't do it, let go and let God. Let go and let God. When Sarah reached that place that she could not do it, she could not do it. God knew it. And God had to do something for her. And God opened up the revelation and revealed to Abraham that Sarah was part of that same move. Where do you think she received enough faith to move in to receive that child? It wasn't just hearing about her messenger. Something happened to her after she heard about herself. You imagine time after time, Abraham said, God told me this and God told me that and God told me this and he's going to give me that and he's going to do that for me. He's going to do that for me. Did he say anything about me? No. God say anything about me today? No. But this one day he walked in the tent smiling from ear to ear, beaming like a light bulb. He said, well, what did he say about you today? It wasn't just what he said about me. It's what he said about you. Hallelujah. You mean he mentioned me? Yes. He says your name is no longer S-A-R-A-I. He took the I off the end of your name and he put the H on the end of it. He changed my name from Abram to Abraham, little Elohim. And you are the wife of little Elohim. So he capped off your name. He got rid of your I. He got rid of your I and put his H. Hallelujah! Put his H on the end of your name and sealed your destiny. Sarah. Sarah. Princess. You mean I am included in this revelation? Don't you see, friends? Don't you see, for years and years we preached Brother Branham this and Brother Branham was that and Brother Branham was something else. Can't you see why the bride must see her position in the Word? What is it? The eyes moving off and the age capping you off in order for you to see who you are in joint revelation of this Word. Let's lay hands on one another if you would. Take the person by the hand, lay it on their shoulder, whichever you desire to do. I don't want you praying for yourself now. That person standing beside you today may be at the lowest place they've ever been in their life. They may have so many bills that they see no way out. They may have been told on Friday they're going to lose a job, or they may be told tomorrow they're going to lose it. So I want you to pray for them with all sincerity. In a congregation of this size, hundreds of needs, plus many more that's streaming than what's sitting here present. People around the world. Let's pray together. Lord God, I don't want to close this service out today, Lord Jesus, without bringing the needs of your children before you. Father, I know we live in a terrible, terrible age, but yet at the same time, it's the most glorious age to live for a believer. I would rather live right now than any other time that's ever been on the earth. If I could have walked in the shoes of James and John with you, that day had been wonderful. But Lord, I know you understand what I'm saying. I'd rather live right now than to be able to live 2,000 years ago. It would have been wonderful to live in Brother Branham's day, but I would rather live right now because this is the day you chose for me, Father. Then, Lord, I want to accept the challenge of this day. Oh, God, I pray. Strengthen me, Lord. Give me courage. Give me strength. Help me not to compromise. Help me, Lord, to love. Help me, Lord God, to have wisdom. Lord Jesus, I pray for your children. Not only these that are visible, but Father, those that are streaming. Lord, those over in Norway, those in South Africa, those in Pretoria, those in Johannesburg. Lord God, in the Netherlands, wherever they are, in Canada. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, may the Holy Ghost go right there through that internet, Lord. Those that have got their heads bowed, sitting by their laptop or by their PC computer, may the Holy Ghost come right out through that internet, Lord God. May you minister healing. May you minister strength, Father God. In the name of Jesus, may the power of God, I pray. Lord, we're not only looking for a restoration of the Word, but a restoration of power. Maybe there's some here today, Lord, they've tried to overcome this and that and the other in their life. They've tried to lay aside drinking or lay aside smoking or lay aside pornography and they can't do it. But may the man in their life, may the man, Christ Jesus, may he emold in them. May he give them the ability to lay it aside today, Father. May they walk out of here, hallelujah. May they walk out of here saying, I am an overcomer. For the man in my life gave me the ability to do it. Granted, God, heal the sick. Encourage those that are down and weary, Father. Granted, I pray, Lord God. Heavenly Father, this prayer cloth that I wore today next to my body, Lord Jesus, I take it into my hand. Father, Sister Sherry Wiggins' mother, you see this request, Lord, with this cancer in her body. Cancer is nothing to you, Lord. I ask you in the name of Jesus, you'd move for it, dear God. Oh, praise be to God. Let's worship Him, Mary. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We worship you today, Lord. Oh, mighty God, manifest yourself among us. Hallelujah.
The little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping.
We bless your name, Lord God.
They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Some began to say, this heart of mine, he gave me life again. I am just a house of clay. Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see. He's in the house.
can do it, children. Your man is here. You can do it. Not even death can stand in your way. Amen.
Your headship has returned.
The cap on the pyramid.
Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let's sing another one, eh? Oh, my. Let's just worship him a little more. I know you want to go and eat your dinner and all that, but no. My, what dinner could we have that's better than this? Oh, Jesus, we adore you, Lord God. We worship you, Father. We bless you.
We fall down.
We may be ignorant and unlearned as far as the world is concerned. We're going to have to lose. Who's in charge? Who's in control? Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Mercy and love we found at the feet of Jesus.
We're singing out to
you. Cry, holy, holy.
Come on, let's sing it to you.
Just sing this one as we go.
Jesus.
Sing it now with all your heart. Just close your eyes. Just close your eyes now. With all your heart, just sing it to him.
Jesus.
God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Remember, service your Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Let's expect the Lord to come and meet with us in a wonderful way. I love you so much. To me, He is. Go in the fear of God. Wonderful to me.
Jesus.